Well, since the audience has gotten so quiet, I guess we'd better start. Anyhow, I'm Gary Gramling, and I'm calling the January meeting of the Housing Commission to order at 9:05 a.m. I'd like to report that we have a quorum. We don't have 100% attendance, but we have a quorum, including, and I'm going to welcome our newest addition to the board, Dottie Surdy. Commissioner Surdy was sworn in last year in time so that she can be here today as a full participating member of our organization. So welcome.
Thank you.
And from my perspective, it's nice to have another real estate backgrounded person on the commission. And Dottie brings a long history of real estate activities to our group. So with that, let's see, somewhere around here I'm supposed to have page one, which I didn't have. So now that I've called the meeting to order, I'm going to just talk a little bit. Members of the public who wish to address the Housing Commission must fill out a speaker request form. Speakers normally are limited to 3 minutes. Collective testimony by those who support or oppose an item shall be limited to no more than 15 minutes total per side. The public may ask for an item to be pulled from the consent agenda after we've announced and approved it. and they may ask for that by quickly running up to Angie over here in the corner and filling out a speaker request form. We'll give you time for that if you need to. Comments on non-agenda items are heard at the beginning of each meeting. Please fill out a white-colored speaker request form before the meeting starts and hand it to the recording secretary, Angie Rosati-Rios, who is, again, over here in the corner. to speak on a matter listed on the agenda, please complete a speaker request form and submit it to the recording secretary before the item is called. If you intend to speak in opposition to the item, please fill out a pink-colored form. If you plan to speak in support, fill out a gold-colored form. And there's no political intonations connected with the choice of those colors. Having done that at this point, then I'm going to look at the our agenda. And I have no request for public comments, so we're going to move on past that and go to commissioners' comments. Commissioners, do any of you have anything you wish to speak on at this time? Seeing no indication of such, I guess we'll move on and get ourselves over here to the report by the President and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Gentry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got about a half a dozen very brief comments to make. On some status issues that have happened over the last 2 months, it's been almost that amount of time since the last board meeting. In December, we learned that we have received an additional $14.5 million in allocation from the state of California's mortgage credit certificate program. And we will be able to use this money to assist an estimated 85 families become homebuyers. The mortgage credit certificates are an important part of our first-time homebuyer program. They reduce the federal taxes that the holder pays, and they can help a first-time home buyer qualify for a loan because it boosts their net earnings. So it's very important to us, and as I'll point out for the newer board members, and as is spelled out on our website, the Housing Commission does have a substantial first-time home buyers program that we've been operating for about 16, 18 years. And we've assisted something like 5,000 families in that time to become first-time home buyers. And it's one of our better working, less well-known programs because it does not attract a lot of controversy. Also, just this week, on Wednesday the 14th, we participated in the grand opening of Fairbanks Square. And Fairbanks Square is a tax credit property located in the far northwest of the city in the Black Mountain Ranch community. Fairbanks Square was developed by the Chelsea Investment Corporation, and it is 98 units, of which 88 are rented to seniors with incomes no higher than 60% of the San Diego area median income, which is just over $33,000 per year for an individual. And 10 of the units are reserved for seniors at lower than 50% of AMI, which is $27,000. The Housing Commission issued some $16.5 million in state multifamily housing revenue bonds for the acquisition of land and construction of this program, and represents a very good partnership between us and a private sector affordable housing developer, Chelsea Investment Corporation. Also, Commissioner Surdy attended that grand opening, very thankful for that. And also Vice Chair Spoon spoke on behalf of the Housing Commission and did a very, very, very good job representing us. So it was a good event. And there are some photos, I believe, in the packet in front of you. On the 13th of January, earlier this week, we did a news release and a press conference to kick off the 9th annual Project Homeless Connect, which is a one-day fair for the homeless that the Housing Commission has administered. This is the 9th year of Project Homeless Connect, and I believe the 6th time that we have administered that program. As the program is will occur on January the 28th in Golden Hall at the San Diego Community Concourse behind City Hall. There will be, if it's anything like the past, there will be something like 75 service providers there to provide services for the homeless, all the way from haircuts to dental screenings to gently used clothing to other services and referrals. The call to action that occurred this past week was held at Father Joe's Villages, and it consisted of me, Diane Stump, who's the acting president and CEO at Father Joe's, and also Sergeant Teresa Clark with the police department's HOT team. So I would encourage any of you all, either board or staff or members of the public who want to volunteer for that, we can always use more volunteers. Also in front of you is a copy of a news release that just came out yesterday, and I'd like to direct your attention to that. This is from the new California Treasurer Chang's office, and it deals with the affordable housing cost issue that has been a concern of this board. And what I wanted to show you with this is that it's not just peculiar to San Diego or this agency. And there is the beginnings of groundswell that I think may have some positive effect. My understanding is that Treasurer Chang has two primary criteria he wants to accomplish during his term in office. One is expansion of infrastructure, and the other is, my term, not his, a rationalization of the cost issues in affordable housing and trying to get those under control. So, and Mr. Tassin, I'm looking at you for a purpose here. I want to make sure that you understand this. I'll also point out that it's related but extra. Following the whole resolution of the linkage fee issue last year, Craig Benedetto of the Jobs Coalition and I pledged to work together to do two things. One is to find additional funding at the state level for affordable housing, and second, in a collateral way to deal with the cost issue too. Craig and I have had contact with Speaker Atkins' office. We are traveling to Sacramento next week. In fact, I'll be in Sacramento twice in the next 2 weeks, once with Craig and once back meeting with Mr. Chang's people. And there's beginning to be a statewide effort to get this issue under better control. Yes, sir.
Thanks, Mr. Gentry, for bringing that to our attention. You know, I'd like this to be to become more public, and for us to push this messaging out of what we're working with, that we agree with the treasurer on this, and that's a concern of the San Diego Housing Commission, and that we're trying to address this issue, because oftentimes we're criticized for spending the amount of money that we're spending on these projects. And if it's beyond our control, I want the public to know about it.
And we will do so. I see Maria in the back of the room. And we'll make sure that we speak this message loud and clear, and it'll be known as the will of the board and not just the staff response to things going on elsewhere. But I want you all to understand that this is picking up some steam, and I think it's going to lead somewhere. I've got a couple of other brief announcements, but any other questions on this item? Okay. And two other very brief things about your CEO. On the 13th this past week as well, I was honored by the San Diego Building Owners and Managers Association as one of their public officials of the year. Who would have thunk that a year or two ago? In my acceptance, I noted that it was interesting to go from being Darth Vader to getting an award from these folks. But I think it shows that anything can happen, and that friendships can be made in some unlikely places. And I was honored by this, and very pleased with it. The other one is something I was also pleased with, that Wake Forest University, my alma mater, an article they did on me last month that is included in one of Maria's e-blasts yesterday, that does a pretty good job capturing 50 years in a few paragraphs, and I was very pleased with that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for that. And I'm going to make one minor correction to what you had to say, and that had to do with the MCC program. Because in 1995, I was working at selling a condominium community up in Linda Vista, and I can tell you that the MCC program as administered by this organization was absolutely instrumental in allowing that project to be sold to first-time home buyers. And, I mean, we use it extensively. It's a great program. And you're right, it's not well enough known in terms of what it is and what it can do. So thank you for that. Okay, at this time, I am going to propose a consent agenda, and I'm proposing that items 100, 101, 102, and 103 be moved to the consent calendar.
Move approval.
Second.
Okay, the proposed consent agenda has been moved and seconded for approval. Is there any discussion from the board? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor of the consent agenda as proposed, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The item is carried unanimously. Okay, so then moving to the approval of the minutes, we have the minutes of November 21st, 2014 regular meeting and the minutes of the same day special meeting. And I'm going to propose, I'm going to handle them at the same time. So is there a motion? It's been moved approval by Commissioner Spoon. It's been seconded by Commissioner Tussin. And is there any discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call that question. All in favor of approving the minutes as submitted, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes have been approved unanimously. So now we'll move to item 104, Parkcrest Senior Apartments, property rehabilitation. You're a brave soul. You're one of the first people who's walked up here and sat down by themselves.
I am.
Usually there's a backup.
Going solo today. I have a full room of support, I guess. Good morning. My name is Emmanuel Arellano. I'm the Director of Portfolio Management in the Real Estate Department, and I'm here to present on item 104 of the agenda, Housing Commission Report 15-008. The requested action before you is to recommend the Housing Authority approve the revised rehabilitation plan for the Parkcrest Senior Apartments. In October 2012, as you may recall, the Housing Commission acquired Parkcrest, a 71-unit senior apartment complex in the City Heights community. The property was developed in 1985 and has a conditional use permit that restricts the occupancy of the units to seniors ages 55 and above. Soon after the Housing Commission assumed ownership and management of the project, the roof of the property was replaced. Furthermore, four residential units were completely rehabilitated. The rest of the non-critical capital repairs identified in a building conditions assessment report performed during the due diligence phase at acquisition were delayed until capital projects underway at other Housing Commission properties were completed. During the development of the Housing Authority approved fiscal year 15 Housing Commission budget, about $862,000 of Build America Bonds funding remained available and were allocated to, for the rehabilitation of the Parkrest apartments. Build America Bonds are loan proceeds from the equity refinance of the former public housing properties under the Housing Commission's 2009 finance plan. The additional funds were added to do a more comprehensive renovation at the property, which includes new windows and doors, sliders and railings, as well as common area upgrades, which include the elevator and the stairs. Residential units will be renovated as well, and those renovations include new vinyl and carpet flooring throughout the units, new kitchen appliances, new kitchen and bathroom counters and cabinetry, new lighting fixtures, new paint, vertical blinds, and closet doors. The commission is ready to continue the remainder of the non-critical repairs identified at acquisition. With the additional VAPS funding, the total funds allocated for the purchase and rehabilitation of the Parkrest apartments totaled $9.77 million. After the acquisition and the initial capital work completed at Parkrest, the total remaining balance available for rehabilitation, hard and soft costs, is about $2.89 million. Upon your approval and the Housing Authority's approval, the Commission anticipates starting the renovation work within the next 60 days for an 8-month construction timeline broken into four phases, given that vacant units will be utilized for the temporary relocation of the tenants while their unit is being renovated. This concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Mr. Tyson?
Thank you. Emmanuel, the cost for this project went up significantly. Is it because you identified new things that needed to be done that weren't identified initially?
Correct. Part of the initial assessment didn't capture everything that we learned about the property after we took ownership and management of the project. So during that time, we identified additional items that could be addressed. And also we had the remaining BAS funding that could be utilized for those purposes.
What were those things that we identified that we hadn't identified initially? Were they the windows and the railings that you talk about?
Correct. The new additions were the windows, the doors, the railings.
And then how do we know that as you get into the project that you're not going to identify other things? Do you feel like you've done your due diligence sufficiently now that you know exactly what the scope of the work is going to be?
Correct. Since we've had the project for about 2 years now under our management and ownership, we've had extensive time to identify all the needs that that the property needs. In addition to that, as you may recall, we did a green physical needs assessment on this property as well as with the rest of our portfolio. So that helped us make sure that all of the needs are being addressed with this rehab.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
Commissioner Urtesen has moved approval of the resolution. Commissioner Spoon has seconded that. And Mr. Gentry has indicated he'd like to speak on the subject.
At the risk of foregoing a very quick positive vote, I'd like to give just a little bit of context for the newer board members. In 2007, this agency got HUD's approval to convert what was our former public housing, most of those properties, to locally owned, and we converted the subsidy from Section 9 public housing to Section 8 vouchers. In doing that, we promised HUD three things. Number one, we would allow the families living in our former public housing by converting their subsidy to vouchers to leave us if they wanted to and to move someplace else with their subsidy, which was a pretty gutsy move by this agency. Second thing we promised was that for all the families that moved out, we would backfill behind those families with other families at or below 80% of median income, 50% if they're elderly, with an affordable rent. We have done that as well for the about 25 to 30% of the families who've moved out and taken their vouchers with them. We've backfilled behind them with an ongoing vacancy rate around 3%. Fourth thing, and this pertains to this property, we told HUD that if they would release their declaration of trust on the property, meaning HUD's control, We would issue debt on those properties to create at least another 350 units of affordable housing. In late 2009 and early 2010, we issued $95 million in debt using some Fannie Mae and FHA product that we then used for what I tell Debbie Ruane was Debbie's shopping spree. We went out then, and from 2010 to 2012, we actually increased the stock by 810 units, about half of which we acquired directly ourselves, including this property, and others where we invested in other properties, much like the one we just you all were at this week. So this property represents the last of that program. This was the last property we acquired. It was just about the end of the $95 million. And this is a rehab effort to put it in proper working order. But I guess my long-winded point here is that these are 810 units that were produced by us gleaning the value out of property we already owned, doing responsible leverage on it, and then scouring the marketplace. Luckily for us, at the bottom of the Great Recession, we got some good product here. We also hit the Build America Bonds program, which was part of the stimulus bill of 2009, which helped us get the interest rates down further. But this is the last of that program.
Thank you for that. And I'd like to also clarify that during the time that we've had this property, the property has not been a slum. And unattended. It's been very habitable, more than just habitable. It's just that now it's time to take care of bringing it fully up to today's standards on that. So now, any additional discussion on the resolution? Commissioner Surdy?
I just have a question, if you would allow that. You mentioned in your report relocating the tenants. Are they tenants or are they homeowners in the property?
Well, they are tenants.
Okay. So what's the mechanism for that? I mean, are you taking a certain percentage at a time as you go through your rehab program? And where do they live in the interim period?
Sure. Great question. We do have about 14 units vacant that we've held vacant on purpose to use those units for the temporary relocation of the tenants. So that's why we're calling the 8-month construction we're breaking it into four different phases. So we'll do about 14 units at a time. So people will be temporarily relocated to another unit within the same building while their own unit's being renovated.
Thank you.
Who will incur the cost?
Yes.
Good questions, both of you. Any additional questions?
I'd just like to
yes. Comment. By way of background, at the time that we were setting forth the policy for generating the $95 million, the real estate committee was charged with coming up with the methodology we were going to use. And one of the things that we absolutely mandated was that when we refinanced the existing public house or the former public housing properties, we would not refinance it above what it could reasonably carry. And so we averaged somewhere between the 55 and 60% loan to value so that the property would carry itself from day one.
That's what makes it work.
And that's what makes it work.
Right.
Right. So, Mr. Gentry?
This is real risky. I've had one math course since high school, but I have a calculator. And with all the background discussion about cost that we've had here lately, I'd like to point out that this is 71 units, and Emmanuel, the total cost is $9.778 million. Even a dummy like me can figure out that's like $138,000 per door. Just wanted that noted
right
for the record.
She doesn't need the calculator. It's here.
No, I did it.
Faster. Oh, I was going to say faster than a speeding computer. So. Mm-hmm. Okay. Seeing no other lights indicating a desire to speak on this issue, I'm going to call the question. All in favor of the proposal as submitted by staff, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Next is item 105, Village North Senior Garden Apartments. This is an acquisition, and by way of introduction, I can tell you that this item was considered by the board's real estate committee, and it did come out of that committee with a favorable recommendation. Go ahead.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Mike Pavko. I'm the Executive Director for Housing Development Partners, which is the development arm of the Housing Commission. I have to my right Emily Jacobs, who is our Director of Asset Management. So the item in front of you is to approve and recommend to the Housing Authority approval of the actions described in the board report for the acquisition of Village North Senior. And we have a brief presentation that we'd like to take you through. So the property is located at 7720 Belden Street, which is close to the intersection of the 163 and the 805 in Claremont Mesa. The property is immediately adjacent to the Housing Commission-owned Belden Senior property. This graph shows you the two properties. The lower is Belden Village. It's a 242-unit senior apartment development owned by the Housing Commission. And the acquisition that we're speaking of today is immediately north, which is Village North Senior, the 120-unit development. The property was built in 1986 and contains 121 bedroom, one bath units for the seniors. It contains seven garden-style two-story walk-ups on a 1.4-acre lot. The property is market rate and currently has no affordability restrictions. Proposed affordability restrictions for the property are 80% AMI, which is about $44,200 for a single household. The development plan proposes that 20% of the units would be set aside for permanent supportive housing for extremely low-income seniors. Those supportive housing units would have 24 project-based vouchers that would be attached to them by the Housing Commission to keep them affordable to the lowest-income residents. The purchase price is $14,775,000, which is about $123,000 a door. The total development cost of $15 million also includes $82,000 for pre-development, $28,000 for closing costs, and $114,000 in other soft costs. Property is also currently cash flowing about $600,000 annually. So some of the acquisition terms, we have 120-day due diligence period, which includes a 30-day extension. The broker commission is paid by the seller. And we have an earnest money deposit of 1% of the purchase price, which is $147,500. Our close of escrow would be 30 days after the due diligence period. So staff conducted due diligence for the project, and we determined that the project is in good physical condition. Some of the highlights from our third-party reports include that the appraisal supports the purchase price. Our phase one environmental indicates that there's no recognized environmental conditions for the project. The property is zoned for seniors, has a clean title report, and the capital needs assessment indicates that it's in good overall condition. So some of the key benefits to the project include the ability for the Housing Commission to create and preserve affordable housing. The project will provide cash flow to the Housing Commission. It's in close proximity to the Housing Commission's Belden Senior North project. It's a well-maintained property and has reasonably priced units. And it's also a unique opportunity in that the Housing Commission is the sole buyer due to our ability to facilitate a friendly condemnation for the seller. So we have some pictures of the project. This is an exterior site photo of the grounds for the project. There's a community room, which has chairs, couches, a TV, has games, and also an outdoor barbecue area. This is a typical unit. They're one bedroom, one bath. They're approximately 500 square feet. And this is a side-by-side comparison of the Village North senior property on the left, which would be the acquisition, then the Housing Commission's own Belvin Village senior. Very similar product type. And this is really part of an entire complex that was originally developed about 30 years ago. I'd like to open it up for any questions and comments.
Commissioner Ortessa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Based on, I know you're going to be doing some more due diligence. It's in your budget. But based upon what you've done today, what are you estimating as far as further investment on our part for rehabs?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the comprehensive needs assessment, looks at what it would take to facilitate a full rehab for the property. And that would be about $4.4 million if we wanted to take care of all the capital needs and position it for the next 15 years, which we would typically do for under a tax credit scenario. Property has what they call immediate capital needs, which is about $1 million, which really takes care of ADA upgrades and fire and life safety. The property is in good condition. There's not a lot of deferred maintenance, but as we see with a lot of these properties that are 25, 30 years old, they're at some point going to need a comprehensive renovation. And so we are in the planning stages now of looking for funding sources that we'd be able to put in for the project, including low-income housing tax credits, which would decrease the amount that the Housing Commission would put in to facilitate the comprehensive rehab.
You indicate that there, I think you said that there was a $600,000 cash flow on this thing?
Yeah, so the property is currently cash flowing $600,000 a year based on the historical financial statements. So the Housing Commission would receive that net operating income and would come directly to the commission.
That's, if there's 120 units there, they're on average about, the rents on those one bedrooms are about $415 a month?
So the rents are currently, I think, $875 a unit.
Okay. Thanks.
Commissioner Spoon?
How many of the current residents will be displaced?
That's a good question. So it is currently a market rate building, and we did a tenant file review, and it's not as easy to make that determination as if it's an affordable housing development that already went through a cost through a tenant certification. But we believe that there will be about 15 over-income residents. And our relocation plan is to allow those residents' leases to expire and then to pay them relocation benefits to find a comparable unit in the area.
Yes. Maggie. Commissioner Davis.
I was just curious, what type of renovations will be done for the Americans with Disabilities Act? Will it be full with the walkways, kitchens, baths, all that, or will it be basic?
Yeah, that's a good question. So for those units, we will do comprehensive renovations to bring them fully up to ADA code. So you have a certain radius that you need to be able to turn within the kitchens and the baths. We'll make those modifications to the parking lot, to the paths of travel. It will be comprehensive.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Mr. Gentry?
Just a little bit of background about where the money came from for this. And this is also to give some due credit to some other folks here. Move into work, as you all may recall, this agency received move into work status from HUD in 2009. And basically what that allows us, and this basically refers to the federal programs, hugely our Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher Program, which is our biggest program operated by us as Zana under Jeff's direction. Because we are an MTW agency, and there are only 39 of us across the country, 39 of out of over 3,000 housing agencies, the fact that we're a move-into-work agency allows us some significant deregulation from some of the dumber rules and regs that come out of Washington, D.C. It doesn't completely cut us loose. We have to submit an annual plan every year, which you all approve, and we will have a workshop for you for our fiscal year 16 plan next month with action asked for from you the following month in March, which would be, assuming approval by HUD, would go into effect July the 1st. Every year we submit a plan to HUD. HUD approves it, and we can get exception from regulations, even those that are statutory, if what we do makes sense. Because of efficiencies that Jeff and Azucena and their folks have put into place, we've been able to realize some increasing reserves in this program. Where we have reserves in this program, we have asked HUD for approval to use those MTW funds to acquire property for affordable use, homeless and otherwise. We were able to generate some $8.5 million in the past fiscal year, which we invested in the Hotel Churchill, which HDP under Mike's leadership is developing just out the window to my right. And the construction on that should start later this year. And we think that we're going to be generating about a $15 million surplus that we can use to acquire this property with. So this is money coming from a federal program that we basically have been allowed to make more efficient than the usual rules and regs allow. And that's because of the good stewardship by Jeff and Azucena, and I wanted to point that out. I also wanted to point out the fine job that HDP is doing. You can see the scaffolding on San Diego Towers also out to my right. That rehab is underway. Churchill will be underway shortly later this year. And my goal to Mike, challenge to Mike, his goal was to acquire at least one new property every year. And with Belden North, he's well on his way for this year.
Okay, Commissioner Tustin has moved approval of the proposal. Is there a second? Commissioner Gavis has seconded that proposal, so I don't get to recognize a third. And any additional questions, comments, discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor of the proposal as submitted, indicate by saying aye. Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was a great report.
Can we get a, once you, is it GAFCON that's doing the, your, the due diligence on the physical condition of the property? They did already? Okay. And that's where you came up with $1 million of immediate investment? Thanks. Yeah, I'd like to see it. Perfect.
Okay, I'm going to unofficially add one section. I'm going to go back to Mr. Gentry's comments, reopen that item, and ask you to just give a very, very brief update on our efforts regarding finding a facility for 350 homeless.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I should have included that in my remarks earlier. I just didn't think about it. As the board may remember, in September last year, the City Council directed the Housing Commission to issue a request for proposals later in 2014 looking for a permanent replacement for the winter shelters. For about the last 25 years or so, the city has done a winter shelter using sprung structures, meaning tents, one in the downtown and one in the Midway area. And the one in the Midway area designated for veterans and run by VVSD, Veterans Villages of San Diego, the downtown tent run by the Alpha Project, and the, if I remember the numbers correctly, the shelter downtown holds about 225 people, and the shelter in Midway, about 175. Those are real rough numbers. The tents have been a subject of some pointed debate for some time. The shelter downtown under former Mayor Filner was left open. Actually ran for about a year and a half before it was shut down last summer. And then when we reopened it in, for the season in November, that was authorized by the council in September. There was some pretty pointed discussion on council for us to find an alternative. So the Housing Commission in early December issued an RFP looking for a permanent structure for emergency homeless services that would be available 12 months out of the year, would allow us to get rid of the tents. The time period for that, for response to that RFP, ran out on Wednesday the 13th at 2 in the afternoon. And we did receive one or more submittals for that program. And I'm saying it that way advisedly because since on advice of counsel, since this is an RFP process, we may well be in negotiations with whoever the apparent responsible low responder may well be, lowest cost responder. We are going to be careful about keeping the details confidential until we make that a decision of what to recommend to you all. Assuming there is someone we can recommend to you, we hope to have that wrapped up so we can make that recommendation to you all next month. We hope to have that. We will have a review panel that Jeff Davis is going to lead that will consist of internal staff as well as staff from the mayor's office at City Hall. And we hope to come to you with a recommendation that then will go to the city council. However, as a caveat, when the council made that direction in September, they also recognized that this may not come to fruition. And you can imagine what it would look like to try to increase scope from 4 months out of the year, which is what the winter shelter is now, to 12 months, and also a permanent structure replacing two tents. So we are also, staff here is also on a parallel track looking for a resumption of using the sprung shelters next winter if we need to. The only restriction on that is that I was specifically prohibited from recommending back to the council that the downtown tent go back in the same place on Belden Avenue again. It would have to be a recommendation for someplace else. However, as the city attorney pointed out to the council in September, no, with very few exceptions, the current council cannot tie the hands of a future council in decisions they make.
The current being the one in effect last September.
Yes, sir. Current being the one that passed the resolution in September. So right now we're on two tracks, we being staff, and hopefully the permanent winter shelter will work out. If you heard Mayor Faulkner's address, State of the City address this week, he made a pretty pointed comment that he thinks it should work, which we will remind him of if we need to. I'll be glad to respond to any questions.
Looks like you've satisfied that. I am going to add one thing. Last evening we were at a meeting in the East Village, and at the conclusion of the meeting we were approached by a gentleman who was attending the meeting also, and he made a point of coming up to Rick and I afterwards, and actually Mike was there as well, and said, just want you to know that 5 years ago I was a resident of that tent. And he said, I was homeless, and because of the work that was done with him during that winter while he was there, he was able to get permanent housing, and he's been in permanent housing now for four years at least. And he expressed his great gratification for the fact that that tent has existed. So there's some success stories there as well. Okay. We have covered the agenda for today. It would be appropriate to accept a motion to adjourn. Commissioner Tusson has moved adjournment. Is there a second? Commissioner Davis, who is energized today, has seconded that motion, and we're very glad to have you back, Maggie. Oh, it was. I'm sorry. My peripheral vision wasn't as good as it should have been. Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.